I got bupkis. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, July 27th. It's the middle of the week. I think they call this hump day. I don't know who they are, but they call it that all the time. We have, it's 6:17 in the morning. Why am I here? Why am I on this computer? And I'm in Atlanta, by the way. My location. Give you an idea. I'll zoom it right in for you. I'll give you the macro view. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia this morning. 6:17 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am awake. I've already done my workout. I'm healthier when I'm out. I don't know. I eat out a lot when I'm on the road. And I know that's not exactly the healthiest thing for me either. But when I'm home, I don't really eat that all that healthy either. So I do get a lot more exercise, I think, as far as just like actual planned, like squirrel in a cage kind of exercise. I don't actually do like formal workouts at home, but I do a lot more work. So I do a lot more physical activity type stuff. When I'm here, I have a tendency the only exercise I really get is when I'm walking to get something to eat that's fried. Or I go down to the gym. Or like in today's deal, I'm on the 12th floor, so I just went up and down the steps a few times. That was my workout this morning. Just about killed myself. I brought this juice along. I have some V8 Fusion with me. I brought with me. Usually lasts me about 2 days. So that's what I had this morning. And I forgot to take some of that before I got going. Normally I'll eat an orange or something or do something. But I didn't do any of that. I just put my clothes on and walked out the door. The air conditioning in my room is not really exactly working, I don't think. I have it set at 62. I think the actual temperature in here is probably about 90. It feels like it's in the 80s up here, so I'm not sure. Something's not working right. There's no cold air coming out of my air conditioner, even though it's blowing on high. So there's something wrong. This room may not last, but that's there you go. That's the story. Now what's it? So I guess you got a hint there of what was in my cup. So I don't really have a cup. I have a thermos, and it's got my V8 Fusion in it this morning. I guess Merrick Garland has done an interview with ABC, CBS, whoever it was. They did some kind of an exclusive interview with one of those two. Talks about the indictment of Trump. Now, I have, like I've said before, I believe, by hook or by crook, they're going to indict Trump. I think that Merrick Garland knows full well they're stretching on this to a degree that is obviously heinous and criminal in its action. And yet, they're going to do it. I believe Merrick Garland thinks that he is saving the world by indicting this former president. These people are on a mission, this self-righteous charade that they have convinced themselves that they are the goodies, and they are out to do this president in and save the country, save the democracy. This is... You hear this coming from them, that our democracy, we're standing on the edge of an abyss. That was Liz Cheney's words. I'll have some sound bites. I have some time this afternoon, this evening. Planning on putting together some sound bites for tomorrow's show. And there's just been a whole lot of things said. Now, the Merrick Garland interview has not been aired yet. But people, of course, know what was in that interview, and they can get a feel for what he's about to do. There are some people like Adam Schiff who know what was in the interview. They've been privy to it. Somebody has leaked the information. They've found out what he said. And I guarantee you, and there, that's their way of communicating with each other. They can't, well, I never had any direct contact with Merrick Garland. No, of course not. That's, you guys make statements like that because you hire somebody else to do that kind of thing. Or you just talk to each other through the news. So here's what happens. The race to indictment. There's this idea somehow that if they wait, if Trump announces he's running for president, and then they come out with an indictment, it will look like a political hack job. But if they indict him before he announces that he's going to run, then it looks like Trump is trying to run away from the indictment. This is what they're saying. I don't think the American people. I don't want to put words in the American people's mouths. That's what they do. They tell you what to think all the time. I'd tell you maybe how to think instead of what to think. To ask the questions that give a little different of a, you know, like a paradigm shift kind of thing. A little perspective. How to step back and go, well, let's take that to the extreme to see where that would lead to. And there's nothing wrong with that. People are all about, well, you got to stay balanced. Can't go to the extreme. No. Let's look at this. If you took it to the extreme, that gives you an idea of where it will go, or how ridiculous or heinous it might of an idea it might be. So you say, well, let's just take this to the extreme here and say, you know, and I'm not talking about actually doing it. I'm talking about looking at that from that perspective. The Second Amendment has been a very good tool in terms of teaching and how it's an absolute, shall not be infringed. The right to keep, which means own, the right to bear, which means carry, shall not be infringed. No infringement. No infringement. You can't say, well, we're going to take this right away from you and then we're going to sell it back to you in the form of a permit. Oh, okay, so I can't carry now, but so you're not saying you're taking away my rights. I can carry a gun. All I have to do is pay this fee because that's in the Constitution. That sounds like an infringement to me. It sounds like I'm being infringed upon. Yeah, but that's their reasoning. Well, no, we're not going to take away your right to carry a gun or out to own a gun, but you just can't have these guns. Oh, because those are military-style guns. You don't need military guns. Back when we had muskets, you know, it was a big deal. You can have a musket all day long. You want muskets? We'll give you all kinds of muskets. We'll give you muskets if you want muskets. No, that's not that. The muskets were the military guns. People owned cannons. Despite what Joe Biden says all the time, oh, you couldn't own a cannon. Oh, yes, you could. There were property owners. There were plenty of people who owned cannons. Property owners were considered sovereign on their property. All this was very clear until the property tax started coming into play. All this was very clear until the income tax became a regular thing. All of a sudden, you don't own your life anymore. You have to pay taxes to live. When you trade your 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week or 10 hours a week, whatever it is you trade with your employer, you give your life to them for 10 hours and they give you back $200 or $100 or whatever it is you make. I don't know. Or $1,000, whatever it is. Or in my case, it'd be $10,000. So they give you whatever that amount is that you've agreed upon. That, okay, I will work for you for 10 hours. I will provide you with this amount of work. And then this is my life. I'm exchanging. I can't walk around and do what I want. I'm giving you my life here. Or making myself available, whatever it is, for 10 hours. And you will pay me in exchange for that life. You're paying me X amount of money. The government steps in and goes, oh, wait a minute there. You've increased, and we need to get a percentage of that. Oh, so you're saying if I wouldn't have worked, you wouldn't get anything, and I would just sit here and enjoy my life. Yes, that's right. But you need to work to live. So therefore, we get some of that. Oh. If I trade someone a pig for a barrel of corn, they now say bartering needs to be taxed. Well, you need to determine the value of that, and then you each need to pay income tax on that. There was no income. It was a fair exchange. Well, yeah, but you still had, both of you had income. Oh. Well, how about if I just chop off one of the pig's legs and I'll send that to you? That's my 17%. And then I'll, or whatever it is. And then I'll send you, like a quart of corn. There you go. How's that? There you go. Taxes paid. So they won't do that. Now, this idea that somehow you're increasing. Well, no, you gave up part of your life in exchange for that money. You know, it used to be bartering was a real thing. People bartered more than they had cash, basically. That was just kind of the standard way of doing business with each other back in the day, back when I was a kid. Yeah, when I was just a toddler running around, we had, you know, shiny bits that we would trade for sparkly bits. That's how that worked. No, bartering has been a part of mankind for a long time. It's a way of living. If you look at Cuba, for example, they get very little money down there. Everybody gets their little stipend, but from the government. And if you behave and you do certain things, and you get a little bit more. Just about anybody can be a doctor down there, by the way. If all you have to do is kind of, you know, you have to just brush your teeth, comb your hair, you can be a doctor. I don't know if that's true or not. I've met a few doctors from Cuba, let's just put it that way. And Michael Moore is out of his mind if he thinks the medical care in Cuba is better than it is in the United States. That's what he said in his documentary. Anyway, I use the term documentary very loosely. So this is what they do with this income tax thing. And they jump in there and try to take from you. And they pretend like that's your patriotic duty. People were meant to be sovereign in their personal effects. And that's the whole foundation of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, are based on that. On the idea that you are in your life sovereign and you're in and of yourself. No one can take anything away from you without what's called due process. Legislation is not due process. Due process means court. That means you've done something wrong, you've taken someone else's rights, and you've forfeited your rights in the process. You've done someone else harm, or you've done something wrong, and now you have forfeited your right to sovereignty. Whatever that is. So you can be fined, you can be imprisoned. Imprisonment is actually an infringement on your life. And you have the right to life, liberty. Now all of a sudden you have your liberty taken away from you because you took someone else's liberty away. That's what that's all about. There's punishment for that. Speaking of punishment, while we're on that subject, let's lead this right into the Hunter Biden issues. They are more concerned. I think I talked about this yesterday, but it's worth repeating again today. There are apparently there's a lot more pressure right now from some congressmen and senators concerning Hunter Biden and the connections that he has with China, Ukraine, and Joe Biden. Now, here again, Joe Biden is, you know, everybody makes fun of the guy. He's a bumbling guy. He bumbles around, can't make his statements right, all this stuff. Here again, it's not about Joe Biden, in fact, at this point. It's about policy. Same thing with Trump. I didn't really care that much about Trump's life and what he does with his family, what they do, how he does his business. I don't care. It has to do with policies that affect me and my family and the people in my community. Those are the policies that matter. Whether or not he picks his nose has nothing to do with what affects my life. Now you could say, oh, well, on the world stage, they don't have any respect for us. Oh, they respect us. Regardless of who's in office. Now, here's the problem. It's the policies that, at the end of the day, matter more than anything else. Now, character matters. There's no question about that. But when you lift anybody up in leadership, anybody who's in leadership, and you lift them up and put them on a pedestal and say, this is an example of who you should be, you go out on a limb there. This happens all the time. I see it in the church all the time. People lift up a pastor, put him on a pedestal, or as we used to call it back in the day, a pedestal. And you set that person up for a fall. First of all, if that person starts to believe that they deserve that pedestal and that they're somehow above you and that they can, you know, that they have some kind of, I don't know, they're somehow better than you, or you just need to listen to them just because they're sitting on that pedestal, then that can be a problem. That's where the trouble comes in. Ultimate power ultimately corrupts. Absolute power. Sorry there. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's kind of what, if we allow someone to have that kind of power over us, then we are in that position of, once that person falls, all of a sudden it is everybody falling. Nobody is above the ability to fall. Pride comes before the fall. You've heard that before. Interesting stuff. There's some interesting connections there in terms of what's happening right now. If you connect some of these, sometimes these kinds of things are a lot more clear than you think. What are some of the parades we're having right now? What are they called? Yeah, pride comes before the fall. Giving us a little clue to the future here of what we're about to experience, I believe. Now, how we're going to go through that fall, I don't know. Should be interesting. So we have a lot of things going on. We have, Glenn Beck used to talk about this all the time on his program. He talked about the rules for radicals and how they're, you know, the overwhelming the system. You have to keep the system overwhelmed so people are out of the news cycle. And they're not sure. One story mixes in with another and they're not sure which is which. It's kind of like the Steve Bannon thing. He was convicted of not responding to a subpoena. Contempt of Congress is what he was convicted of. Nothing for January 6th. Nothing for being a racist, which he's not. All this stuff that they're convicting him of, accusing him of, they just mix it all into one batch and make it sound like, well, he got arrested. Now he's convicted now. Who cares? It was contempt of Congress for not responding properly to a subpoena. And of course, Sussman gets off after he admits that he did what he did. What he was accused of doing, he admitted he did it, but he blamed it on the FBI. Well, the FBI should have vetted him. I know I shot that guy right in front of the police officer, but the police officer should have shot me, so it's his fault. He didn't stop me. The police officer should have stopped me. He didn't. That's his fault. Oh, okay. We're going to let him off. That's how ridiculous this whole thing has been. I mean, this is an example of taking something to an extreme. Well, that's an extreme. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's an example. It's an extreme example, but it's the same principle. And they acquit the guy. Not Steve Bannon. No. He had advice from legal counsel. Legal counsel should be the one convicted here. Now, his legal counsel has come out and explained exactly what's going on. And, of course, the problem is they're hiding behind, you know, Steve Bannon was trying to hide behind executive privilege, which it's questionable whether or not he had it or not. That's what they're questioning. The thing that the courts are hiding behind are that they can't tell Congress how to conduct their business. All they know is you've been subpoenaed by a illegitimate counsel that has 9 people on it, by its own rules should have 13, has 2 Republicans, by its own rules should have 5. So we'll see when the Republicans start having their charade. Well, not necessarily charade investigations. The problem is they investigate things, they don't go anywhere. Where are they going to... Okay, let's say that the Republicans start into all kinds of investigations. They have all kinds of special counsel. They have all kinds of counsels, special counsels, select committees, whatever they do. And they start digging into the FBI, and they start digging into Hunter Biden. They start looking at Joe Biden. They start looking at all this stuff. Who are they supposed to turn this over to? Merrick Garland? How do you think that's going to go? Oh, they're going to turn it over to the American people and they're going to vote in 2024. And who's going to cover this? Is it going to be the news media? There are people at Fox News, which I have the most respect for out of all the news legacy, I'm going to call them. I'm going to lump them into the legacy news, I guess, organizations. There are people at Fox News who have it in for Donald Trump. They don't want to see him run again. They have convinced themselves that he is too controversial and he's going to be the fly in the ointment. He can't win. Or they don't want him to win. One of the two, I don't know which it is. They don't want to see him as president anymore. They want to see somebody else come in who's a little calmer, a little easier, you know, somebody like DeSantis. Let's push DeSantis or Mike Pence. They're actually pushing. The establishment right now is pushing Mike Pence, which tells me all I need to know about Mike Pence. Think about that for a second. If the establishment is pushing a candidate, and it's not Ron DeSantis, then guess what? That's why I'm uncomfortable with Mike Pence. He's a little too chummy, little too close to the Bush family. The Bush family dynasty, you might say. I keep hearing Chris Christie's name also being brought up by the establishment. Apparently they're trying to push him now as well. Chris Christie would be the absolute the guy's got no business being president of the United States. Let's just put it that way. That's all I'm going to say about that. He's very upfront. You know, he talks a good game. He's got that kind of East Coast kind of in-your-face talk, like he's shooting straight with you. He doesn't. He's very good at it. He's very convincing in what he says. He's not an honest man. We have to recognize some of these snakes. Now, one of the things that they're doing, Democrat Party, and they're still pulling this kind of stuff. They're trying to get inroads in any way they can. They are trying to interfere with Republican primaries. They're trying to interfere with Republican elections. They're going to try to run their own candidates. Candidates that are Democrats. And this kind of bothers me about Dr. Oz. I don't think Dr. Oz is the actual... I think he's kind of this Manchurian candidate kind of thing. I think he is more of a leftist who's running in a Republican seat. when he first announced that he was a Republican, he was coming out to run in for office, there, people were throwing fits. Oprah, all these people who were throwing fits over this whole thing. And all of a sudden, they got real quiet. All of them, all at the same time. Maybe Dr. Oz's people got to them and said, well, this is what's happening. You have to, shh. He's really a Democrat. He's just getting into office and running on this platform. Wait, don't worry. He's going to be like a snake in the grass. I don't know. I don't know if that's happened or not. I'm alleging it to be. Because, by the way, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a political analyst. I'm not a life coach or a financial counselor, and I'm not a honeybee, so I don't know. I'm just a guy with a microphone, and I happen to bring my microphone with me to Atlanta, so I'm talking into this computer, and that's what I'm doing here. I've got a bunch of opinions. What you want to do with those opinions is all up to you. But in the meantime, welcome to Atlanta. So this is what's happening now. I don't know how this interview with Mark Merrick Garland is going to go. I do believe they're going to find a way, dereliction of duty, whatever it is that which is a military term. However they're going to try to stretch this thing, they've got this narrative, and you hear Liz Cheney say it 7 times a day. Donald Trump sent an armed mob to the Capitol building to cause an insurrection, to force the election results to be overturned, to hang Mike Pence, whatever else. I don't know what else. This whole narrative that they've got that you're going to go down and influence and affect the and try to stop the electoral process. Now, I don't know. When you lock somebody up for 2 years and don't give them their day in court, and all you do is keep them in isolation all the time, they go crazy. They'll start to admit to anything just to get out of there. They'll even commit suicide, which one has now. At least one. I thought there was another one that committed suicide, but maybe not. Interestingly enough, a lot of the people who were involved from the Capitol Police side have either resigned and or committed suicide. Speaking of committed suicide, Glenn Maxwell is now in a minimum security prison now. Kind of concerning, isn't it? Considering nobody, none of her clients, not a single client has been charged. She's involved in trafficking. She's rubbing elbows with all these big, important people. And all of a sudden, none of them were involved in any of this? Flying around in his jet, flying him to a private island where they did all this trafficking? And none of them, not a single one, is going to be brought up on charges for anything? Kind of odd, isn't it? You can get banned from YouTube by talking about that. There are people who've been kicked off of YouTube because they said something about that. It's just weird. Again, another reason why I just typically don't go on YouTube much. Other than to listen to things and make comments, make squirrely comments. That's what I do. I'm good at that, making squirrely comments. The FBI. Let's just talk about the FBI here. Now, if they've been listening to me this far, they've probably gotten so bored they just stopped listening. We're finding out, and Grassley apparently came out. Senator Grassley, I think it's Senator. He came out and talked about how there's some issues here with the FBI and some cover-ups that they did, deliberately covering up things with Hunter Biden. Duh. I mean, they're coming out like this is a big revelation all of a sudden. Hello? Have you really paid that little attention to this whole situation? They've had Hunter Biden's laptop. They had it a year before the election. They had it in December of 2019. 2019, whatever it was. Yeah, the year before the election. 12 months before the election in November of 2020. They had the laptop. They do this all the time. And I'm sure they've got the list of Glenn Maxwell's clients as well. They're going to use that as well. That's another leverage tactic that they use. This is their standard MO now. That's the way it works. Well, folks, I got to go get some breakfast. I got to take a shower, and fortunately, there's no smell-o-vision here. I'm just going to work on taking a shower, getting some breakfast, and heading off to my little meeting. That's what I'm going to do because I hear my bumper music coming in, which means it's about time for me to be done. So, sorry, this is kind of a short show, but that's what you get when you pay for, you paid for half a show, you get half a show. Or you paid for nothing, and you get half a show, you still get half a show. Or you paid for the whole show, and you still get half a show, whatever it is. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Take care. Have a, yeah, I've got two more days left in the week. See ya.